Well, hello, Bikescapers. It's episode 61, and it's April 18th, 2007.
It's for room 104. The name's Herman, P.W. Herman.
No, nothing right now, Mr. Herman.
Well, once again, welcome to Bikescape, another episode. This episode, we're going to be talking with bike rocker Attila Horvath from Athens, Ohio. He was in town a few weeks ago, actually a couple of months ago now, and he did a little private show just for us Bikescapers here. He happened to arrive at the same time as the Amgen Tour of California race was getting underway. The time trials were happening in San Francisco. And I met up with him and his partner, Mary, and we checked out the race and played some music. And it's all here recorded for you. So let's go to the race right now, shall we? All right, so I'm here at the Amgen Tour of California with Attila Horvath. We thought we'd come down here and he'd play guitar and play some of his bike rock songs. And I thought I'd tell you a little bit about the race here. This is kind of a big deal. You don't hear much about bike racing on Bikescape, but this is the Tour of California. Just got upgraded by the UCI, Union Cycliste Internationale, and it has now got the highest rating of any bike race outside of Europe. And it's a six-stage race. Today's the beginning. It starts here in San Francisco, and it goes down to, it ends up in the end in Long Beach, down in Southern California. And today is the prologue here in San Francisco, and it's a time trial. That means you're racing against the clock, of course, and it starts here at the ferry building on the Embarcadero, and winds up this huge hill, Telegraph Hill, to the top by the base of Coit Tower, which is the finish. Last year was won by Levi Liepheimer, who was a local boy from Santa Rosa, California. And I believe Dave Zabisky won came in first pretty much for the race, the entire tour. Levi also came in as King of the Mountain at the end of the race. He's a good hill climber, which you learn here in San Francisco. Anyway, we're not going to really cover this race today too much. I'm more interested in the bike culture that's going on around it. And a great part of bike culture is bike music. You hear a lot of that here on Bikescape. And I sent an email to Attila Horvath, who has a CD out called Bike Rock. And I asked him if I could use some of his music. I'm always searching for new bike music. And he said, yeah, I'll do it, but why don't you interview me? And I kind of put that off because I didn't want to do like a Skype interview, but turns out he's in San Francisco doing a gig, and I thought I'd contact him, so I got him. He decided he was going to come out here to the race and play. All right, we're standing in what's this place called, the Lifestyle?
Lifestyle Expo.
It's the Lifestyle Expo at the race here. It's like a big bicycle shopping mall. So Amgen, the people that are putting on this race, have a big booth. They're giving away a couple of felts. I read that on their website. Shimano's got a booth, Speed Play, World Bicycle Relief, Jelly Belly, they're a big sponsor.
Bike Rock would have one too if I wasn't so poor.
Everybody's kind of wandering around with this glazed look over their eyes.
I've never seen a board that says, today's demonstrations, DNA extraction.
Oh, yeah, Amgen's they're a bioscience, biotech company. Cambria Bike has selling all their stuff. But we're going over to the less traveled area, over by where the Bike Coalition is. They're doing free parking here, like they do at every event in San Francisco. any fair or anything like that, you'll always see the Bike Coalition doing their free parking.
What were you saying? I was just saying that I haven't been at a big race like this before. The only other kind of race I've been to was just like this little deal that was going along at the same time that one of the bike tours that I was riding on. I just happened to coincide.
Yeah, it was a T-Mobile. It's really corporate.
Yeah, this is the big deal. I read that this is the biggest race in the United States.
Yeah, the UCI, Union de Cycliste Internationale, just upgraded this to the highest rating outside of Europe that you could ever have for a race.
So you can't be at the top level if you're not doing it in Europe, then?
I guess not. I think those are the racers getting ready to go. You want to go check it out?
Yeah, real quick. Let's
okay. Yeah, there's a little clump of people here waiting to get a gander at the racers.
It just looks like a bunch of people trying to get a glimpse of the riders.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well,
I don't really care about that, do you?
There's a couple of guys there from HealthNet, the HealthNet team.
I'd rather go play.
Okay, yeah. So we're standing outside the Bike Coalition. This is the only booth that we're really interested in here. We got
parking your bike?
Repave the Bike Network petition. I'll sign one of those. Getting people to sign up for the SFBC. Bike maps, tube times, stickers.
Oh, here's our guy. David, right?
So this is my project.
Awesome. And it's all songs about bicycling?
Well, most of them are.
Oh, that's
about three quarters of it is. So.
How did you find the San Francisco Bike Coalition?
Well, the internet, I guess.
Oh, so you're out here and you're like, ah, that's awesome.
Well, the thing is, I was in San Diego this winter, and I heard about this bike race, and I thought it would be a really cool place to come to play. I just figured I'd just hustle on the street.
Yeah.
So today I'm just going to like try to hustle and just play for some tips.
Oh,
and
cool.
I have a gig tonight at Swig, which is a bar over on Geary Street. So I'm just going to play it near your table here. And
that's awesome.
Hopefully it entices
people. Like this works out.
Stuck in a cage, the size of a bug. I try to make some time, but I'm out of luck. Truck and death ahead and a taxi behind. Spent the whole morning just sitting in line. But if I was on my bike, I'd be there by now. I was on my bike, I'd be there by now. Hey, by now. It's 8 o'clock, got a pup since 5. Gotta get to work, gotta make a dime. Get some clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. Rather trade the mile for some cycling cleats. Cause if I was on my bike, I'd be there by now. If I was on my bike, I'd be there by now. Chet, it has been the bar. A pedal machine is closer to the heart. Cause if I was on my bike, I'd be there by now.
Is the thing working?
Yeah, it's working. Sounds great.
If the sky is thick like mercury and the sun fails to burn a hole in the clouds, If the fields plow down prayer and the green, or the river turns to brown and the sparkle of the water fades and smooths into rushing clay. If the sky is shy as hopes and the sun was a deep blue, if you hear a charms and kisses, there will be seduction. To the melody.
In my microphone.
So, where are you from?
Ohio, Athens, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
How about you?
Oh, San Diego.
Cool. San Diego. We're just in San Diego. Scripps Ranch area.
Nice area. Lots of hills.
Yeah, for sure.
What inspired you to play all bike songs? How many bike songs have you got?
Let's see. Well, I've got 12 songs on my record, but not all of them are bike songs. Okay. And I've got probably another album's worth of bike songs that I haven't recorded yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What inspires you to do that?
Well, just the things I love to do. You know, I love to ride and I love to play music, and they just sort of come together. I found myself, well, you know, when you're out on a long bike ride particularly, you tend to just kind of zone out for a little while. Mm-hmm. And, well, I guess I don't really zone out so much. I kind of have this mental jukebox.
I know exactly what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll just keep on thinking of songs one after another and just kind of be singing it to myself. And as I've done that, I've ended up kind of coming up with some songs while I ride. And it got to the point where I had to start carrying a notebook and a pen with me in my little pack, because I would think of a line or two or a verse or two, and so I wouldn't forget them. I'd have to write them down.
Oh,
and then when I got off my bike, I'd pick up my guitar and work something out.
So do you think cycling makes you more creative?
Yeah, it does, because
something about the zone you get in when you're actually riding. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the zone exactly, but I think any creative person, any artist needs time to themselves. They need time when they don't have distractions and they don't have demands on them. And if you're out on your bike and you're just riding and you're having a good time, kind of clears your mind and allows you to have that mental space to, I don't know, to create, I guess.
Yeah.
It works for me anyway.
I had a shrink tell me, a psychologist I should say, tell me that...
You can say shrink.
Yeah, I heard, she told me that you actually go elevate into an alpha state when you're on the bike because of the adrenaline or the endorphins or whatever.
Yeah.
And you actually are more creative, maybe not in a focused way, but...
Can I play a song?
Yeah. No, but I have a couple more questions.
Okay.
Did you happen to ride with a club named SDBC?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's where I recognized you from.
Oh, did you ride with them?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, yeah, I kind of donated to the cause here.
You sit in front of UC Cyclery and play your guitar, right?
Thought I recognized you from somewhere.
Yeah, I would take my guitar to these club rides, and I would play before we hit the road.
Down in San Diego?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your name?
Amanda.
Good to meet you, Amanda.
Nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, so keep on playing.
Thanks.
Yeah. out before me, black and smooth as glass. Headed out early this morning, the dew clinging to the grass. I've been on the lanes for days now, there's a fire in my lungs. Gonna keep on gliding down this road until the afternoon sun. I'm gonna ride on and ride on, flying down these hills. I'm gonna ride on and ride on, 'cause you get nowhere standing still. Yes, I get a little weary, gears turning, wheels spinning round, but I feel like a king sometimes. I'll be it with the plastic crown. Freedom and speed and balance, if somebody asks me why, deep down inside there's a feeling, there's one you can't quantify. I'm gonna ride on and ride on, flying down these hills. I'm gonna ride on and ride on, 'cause you get nowhere standing still. The yellow line is my companion, fresh cut hay and birds in the sky, and I wonder what tomorrow will bring when I get up. Go for a ride. I'm gonna ride on and ride on, flying down these hills. I'm gonna ride on and ride on, 'cause you get nowhere standing still. Ride on and ride on, flying down these hills. I'm gonna you get nowhere standing still.
Let's hear it for Attila.
So are you the Bikescape guy?
That's me.
Right on, man. I was listening to you on the way down.
Oh, really? What's your name?
Philip. Yeah, from Humboldt County.
Oh, really?
Arcata.
Yeah. Arcata. It's nice up there.
I started picking up your stuff off of iTunes.
Oh, really?
And
wow, this hardly ever happens to me. I hardly ever run into anybody. You know,
really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I appreciate what you're doing. It's really great to be up there and kind of get the ambiance of what's going down here. I only get down here like maybe once a year.
All right, well, now you can be a guest on Bikescape.
Right on.
I'll put you on. Listen to yourself.
Daffodils are blooming and the buck is busting out the stench of the roadkill. The diesel fumes that knock me down, but when I get off, I get back in the saddle, 'cause I don't fight. People know it's hills that I battle. Morning, evening, afternoon, I go out by any time. Just taking up space on the right is not a crime. People tell me different things like getting a car, but unless it's a rack top, that's life in a jar. Rolling down, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down the road, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down. Rolling down the road, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down the road, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down the road. Asphalt or back road gravel, riding on your bicycle's the best way to travel. Feel the wind on your skin and the sun on your face. The adrenaline rush when the dogs give chase. Take some advice from the man at the mic. You find happiness on the seat of your bike. Put your power to the pedal, yeah, get up and go. And if you aren't fast, well then ride slow. Rolling down, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down the road, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down the road, rolling down. Rolling down, trail through the hills and the ridgetop heat and the hollows chill. Where I wanna go is where I'm gonna get, just like the old west, riding into the sunset, rolling down, rolling down. Rolling down, rolling down the road, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down the road, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down, rolling down the road, rolling down, yeah, rolling down, yeah, rolling down.
Attila Horvath, ladies and gentlemen. That was good.
So, other than writing my own songs, I like to take some other songs that are not bike-related and changing them up to make them bike songs.
Oh, yeah, like what?
Well, this I actually use this song to open my sets a lot because it gets people's attention. This is a Willie Nelson tune that I've kind of made my own.
Let me see if I can guess which one.
On your left again, and I can't wait to yell on your left again. The life I love is riding faster than my friends, and I can't wait to yell on your left again. On your left again, riding roads that I have never been, passing people I may never pass again, and I can't wait to yell on your left again. On your left again, like a demon I speed on down the byways, lean into the bends, expecting that these people get out of my way, and my way is on your left again, and I can't wait to yell on your left again. The life I love is riding faster than my friends, and I can't wait to yell on your left again. And I can't wait to yell on your left again. And I can't wait to yell on your left again.
Yeah. Willie. That's beautiful. That could be a theme song. Kind of is your theme song, yeah.
That's the recording you made is the only recording of that song, so. People have said, oh, is that on your album? Is that on your album? Because people really like it. But I don't want to deal with the royalties issue. So I usually just tell people, you know, that's just something I play live and that's it. So.
All right, well, it works out this way.
Works out for me.
Yeah.
Another tune I've done that to is a lot less known. Some people get it, though. It's by a band named Cake, and they wrote a song called Rock and Roll Lifestyle.
Uh-huh.
But I change it to Lycra-clad lifestyle because I'm continuously amazed by how much money people spend on their sport, you know, on their cycling gear. And
what's the point? I don't get that.
Well, the point is you've got the money and it's what you love to do, so you dump a bunch of money into it, you know.
I guess but then you have to change when you get to work, and then you.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know, I just spent a good deal of time in San Diego. And I went on some of the club rides in the area. And, you know, where I'm from, the bikes really aren't all that nice. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, people have fine bikes, but in San Diego, it's like everywhere you look is a Lightspeed and and, you know, a titanium this and a carbon fiber that. And, you know, the bike I ride on the road.
What do you ride?
I ride an old Cannondale. It's actually one of the first Cannondales made. It's a 85 model. But, you know, it belonged to a neighbor of my dad's, and I bought it for $300, the whole bike, and it's a great bike.
Yeah.
And when I first started learning, like, really how expensive bike stuff can get, I was just floored. I remember making a comment to a woman that was on a bike ride that I was on. Oh, those are kind of neat wheels. What are those? And there were the Spinergy.
Oh, we just saw some go by a minute ago.
And yeah. She said, oh, yeah, I love these wheels, and I got a great deal on them. I only paid $600 per wheel. And I was just so stunned. I told her, I paid $300 for my whole bike.
you know? So that's what kind of made me realize how much money people spend on their sort of lycra-clad lifestyles, and so that's kind of how this song started.
Okay.
Your bicycle collection looks shiny and costly. How much did you pay for your bad Cannondale? And how much did you spend on your pearl Izumi jacket? Is it you or your parents in this income tax bracket? Now going to races belonging to clubs, sometimes in cities that you never even heard of. And how much did you spend on your microfiber jersey that proves that you ride, that you always coming first? Now, how do you afford your lycra-clad lifestyle? How do you afford your lycra-clad lifestyle? How do you afford your lycra-clad lifestyle? Oh, tell me. Did you pay for your new handlebars after you stupidly crashed at the end of the tour? And how much will you pay for your new handlebars after you stupidly crashed at the end of another tour? And how long will the bike stores keep selling you new ones? As long as the soda cans are red, white, and blue ones. Now, how do you afford your lycra-clad lifestyle? How do you afford your lycra-clad lifestyle? How do you afford your lycra-clad lifestyle? Oh, tell me. Dozens of wheels and carbon fiber frames. Always buy the new ones cause the old ones are lame. Your wallet thins quickly now for new gear magic moments to rock on completely with brand new components. Now, how do you afford your lycra-clad lifestyle? How do you afford your lycra-clad lifestyle? How do you afford your lycra-clad lifestyle? Oh, tell me.
My sentiments exactly. Yeah, here we are at a race, and why is it that racing, nobody that you see on the street ever races, rarely anyway, but why is racing the model? This is the conversation I had with Grant Peterson a while back. It's
yeah.
Like, performance, you know, what is it about performance that people want out of their bike when it all comes from your legs? That's where the performance comes from.
Well, I don't know. If I had more money to throw around, I'd probably have a nicer bike.
Probably be cheaper than a car, still.
Maybe. Well, you know, it's kind of like, I imagine some of it is image, you know, and some of it is like, makes you feel good, you know. But I'm not particularly competitive by nature, you know what I mean? Like, I don't race because I don't have that. But part of the reason I don't race is I don't have that competitive drive, you know.
Right.
I don't really give a damn enough, you know. I'm not like, I need to beat that guy. I don't really have that attitude, so I'm not racing material. That said, I have to admit I derive some satisfaction when, you know, I drop some dude on a $5,000 bike on my $300 bike.
Yeah.
You know?
Nothing feels better than that. Yeah. Especially when you're wearing jeans and he's wearing Lycra. Yeah.
I don't know why I derive pleasure from that, but I have to admit that I do. Yeah. Well, a lot of the places that I play are on these bike tours, like these bicycling vacations, and you know, it's these deals where you sign up and you pay to basically ride, eat, and sleep. Mm-hmm. You camp out at night and you ride from one city to another, one town to another, and you know, the tour just throws your gear up on a semi-truck and it meets you in the next town. It's totally luxurious and it's really fun because you don't have to worry about anything except eating and riding and sleeping. And so one of these tours that I went on in Tennessee, it's called the Bicycle Ride Across Tennessee, or BRAT for short. And, well, these tours in general really vary a lot from, you know, a few dozen or a few hundred to several thousand. And this particular tour, BRAT, used to be
I think maybe a bigger tour, and then it went defunct for a while, and it got started back up by this guy named Danny McCullough, who works for the Tennessee State Park System. He's a ranger, but he's also a pretty hardcore cyclist. So he decided to resurrect this tour, this brat. And so it's under the auspices of the State Park System now. And it's still a pretty small deal. It might grow, but it's 300 riders. And I went on the tour and had a great time. And it was the same kind of deal. I was just, you know, riding through the countryside and started getting a little melody in my head and started thinking about some lyrics. I pulled over and wrote them down. And then when I got back to camp, I started working out the song, and I ended up calling it 600 Wheels, since there are 300 riders on the tour. It goes like this. Middle finger, I just make a solemn oath. When I catch up to that driver at the next traffic light, stick a knife into his tire and make it all right. Well, I'm riding around Tennessee on 600 wheels, and all I gotta do is get up and ride. It's pretty good deal. Had Styrofoam for breakfast and diesel for dessert. Now I'm drafting down the highway just feeling the burn. Feel the burn, yeah. I'm going round and round and round, round and round and round. 600 wheels. Well, I'm riding around Tennessee on the BRAT. I seen some nasty road rash and some pain in the knees. I heard some huffing and puffing going up a 3 mile climb, hauling ass down the other side, and everyone's feeling fine. Well, I'm riding around Tennessee with 600 wheels, yeah. All I gotta do is get up and go. It's a pretty good deal. That's Styrofoam for breakfast and diesel for dessert. Now I'm driving down the highway just feeling the burn. I feel the burn, yeah. Shifting up and down and up and down and up and down. 600 wheels. Yeah, Danny McCullough, he's the brat guru. Do I go left or do I go right? He tells me what I got to do. Some people say he's crazy. They say what's in his head. He said he's seen the light. I paint some signs, bring it back from the dead. Well, I'm riding around Tennessee with 600 wheels, yeah. All I gotta do is get up and ride. It's a pretty good deal. Had Styrofoam for breakfast and diesel for dessert. Now I'm drafting down the highway just feeling the burn. I feel the burn, yeah. I'm going round and round and round and round and round and round. 600 wheels. Ride and eat, sleep, rub, peace.
Very nice.
A little unexpected percussion there again.
Yeah, it worked out fine. Unidirectional mics are nice that way. It was in the background. So you're from Athens, Ohio, right?
Not originally. I'm from the Cleveland area, suburbs of Cleveland.
What drew you to Athens?
Well, Ohio University is in Athens, and came time for me to pick a school. I wanted to stay in Ohio, God knows why. And so I visited, you know, various schools in the state, and Ohio University in Athens was by far the most beautiful place, and that's pretty much what made my decision. I just wanted to, I was just drawn to the place because it's so pretty. And so I went to school there for 4 years. Graduated, left. Anyway, you know, I graduated from school and left Athens with no intention of ever returning. And then about 9 months later, I met a woman who was living in Athens. We met at an environmental conference in Ohio. And I was so taken with her that I started visiting her in Athens while I was living in the Cleveland area. So I was making, you know, 8-hour drives round trip every weekend pretty much. And well, love drew me back, I guess, to Athens, and so here I am.
Nice place to live, though.
Back we're in a place that I never thought I would be.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're still together, and we've, you know, carved out a really nice little life for ourselves in Athens. So we're there to stay.
And it's a place you can bike around from place to place, and you're actually able to curtail your driving most of the time.
You know, I could park my car for weeks at a time in Athens because it's I would characterize it as bike friendly in that it's a small enough town to get around. You can get from any two points in the city you can get to in 15 minutes on a bike, and traffic's not usually too bad. And if you just point yourself out of town, out into the county, you know, in
nice road riding,
in 15 minutes you're out on quiet country roads. And
What's the bike culture like there?
There isn't much of one, actually. You know, the most of the cycling in town is probably students commuting to class. And so they're not like, you know, hardcore...
Not lifestyle cyclists.
Cyclists. Yeah. They're practical cyclists. Yeah. You know, they just want to get to class. And, you know, there's a small group of people in town who are more recreational riders and, you know, spend a lot of money on their sport and go out and ride a lot.
Your partner Mary was telling me about how a group of you sort of took over a city council meeting or something, some kind of governmental meeting, and
yeah, it was kind of by accident actually. There was a plan being put together for our town, development wise. You know, like how do we want to develop as a community, and so we attended the meeting, and it was you know, many hundreds of people broken up into smaller groups, and one of the groups was transportation, so. We got together with that group, and the guy who was sort of facilitating, supposedly leading the group, he was kind of droning on about blah blah blah, you know, this is what we're gonna do, the rest of the people in the group were kind of looking at each other. We're all cyclists, and this is the first
you knew each other, right?
Yeah. At least we were acquainted with each other. Some of them we knew, some people knew each other, and. We realized quickly that there was nothing in the way of provisions for bikes in the plans, and bikes weren't even mentioned. And so we said, well, hey, you know, what's up with that? Why is there nothing in the plan about bikes? And the facilitator said, well, you know, if you want to get something together, you'll have to form a committee of some kind, and, you know, maybe you can make a presentation. And so, you know, the people that were sitting around the table, we said, well, we're a group right here. Why don't we just do it? And, you know, another person whipped out their calendar and said, it was, I don't remember exactly what day it was, but let's say it was a Tuesday at 7:30. He said, well, obviously Tuesday at 7:30 seems to work for everyone here. Why don't we get together next week, Tuesday 7:30, and hammer something out? So we did. And it became what's called the Athens Spokes Council. And
that sounds like bike culture to me.
There, you know, there's a small contingent. But it's a small town, so
of
course
it starts,
you know,
though.
Everything
starts
is going to be small. And I mean, I can't claim particularly a lot of involvement in that, but I tell you that story just as an example of people who see something that needs to be done and just do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's and yeah, you're right. That is a bike culture.
Yeah,
it's just not
small town.
It's just not,
different
it's,
scale.
It's not that visible.
You
know,
year?
We don't have a critical mass with 10,000 people going across a huge bridge that everyone knows.
But you do have a critical mass, though, right?
The critical mass in my town is like 5 people.
But it rides every month.
No, it's not that regular. It'll you know, it's a college town, so when school's in session, there are 30,000 people. When school's not in session, it's 10,000.
Oh, I see.
And so things really ebb and flow a lot. And so when there's a lot of people in town and weather's good and people are feeling, I don't know, frisky, it'll happen. It'll happen.
All right. You got any frisky bike songs?
I've got a few.
Got to try, every man and every woman, every child, to take the time you got, put it in your hand, put some music in your soul, and move yourself across this land. Move yourself. himself cross his land. Ain't no time to waste. Get yourself back on the road. Get yourself back on your feet and throw on all that heavy load. Feel the music, feel the drums, sing the melody. Sometimes life can bring you down, but today we're flying. Flying and free. Flying and free. Flying and fly with me. There's a thousand reasons to celebrate the day. For 999, you don't even have to pay. Get out of bed, get out of line, and get to where you need. Sometimes we got ball and chain, but today we're flying, flying and free, flying and free, flying.
Right, that was frisky.
It's even friskier with the whole band.
Yeah, so you usually play with the whole band when you're at home?
Yeah, I've got a three-piece band together, and I play guitar and sing, and I've got a really great bass player and a phenomenal drummer. And, well, that particular song, Flying Free, that's the first song on the album. And we actually kind of jam that one out a bit. When I'm playing it solo acoustic, it's much more compact, but we really stretch it out, and there's, you know, a bit of a lead break in there.
It's hard rock.
It's rocking, you know. We're a loud band, and so it's kind of
but you got the voice of a folky.
I don't know. I don't know if it's really folky, but I like to sing. I'm not a screamer.
Uh-huh.
You know, I actually don't really see how vocalists can manage doing that without just like tearing the hell out of themselves.
Oh, like death metal? Yeah. I think they have classes on how to do that. They have, like, voice coaches for that stuff.
They might. I don't know. I call it vomit metal, you know, because it just sounds, a lot of times, it just sounds like they're vomiting into the mic. Their riffs are awesome, but I just can't take the vocals, you know.
Yeah.
I prefer to sing.
Yeah, you got a great voice.
So, as I'm sure you do, I have a story or two about, you know, always getting clobbered on the road by inconsiderate drivers or unattentive drivers or asshole drivers. And one time I got cut off by a truck, guy in a pickup truck, and he totally did it on purpose. There's no way this guy didn't see me. I mean, we had eye contact, and he pulled out in front of me.
Legally, that's assault. Even if they don't actually make contact with you.
Well, you know, speaking of assault, I wanted to assault this guy.
That's what Ulux are for.
Carry other things.
Try not to carry it in your back pocket. Go ahead.
But, so, this guy cut me off. I almost ride right into the side of his truck. And I experienced something that I've had never experienced and haven't since, was an honest to God, like, huge surge of adrenaline go through me. And I mean, I consider myself like a pretty mellow, pretty peaceful guy.
I'll vouch for that.
And I was just so filled with rage that I turned around and I followed this guy. He's driving a full size pickup truck. I'm on my bike.
Until it happens to the best of us.
I'm chasing this guy, and I chased him a few blocks. Till I realized, like, I asked myself, what the hell am I doing? What am I going to do if I catch him? I mean, what I wanted to do, I knew. I wanted to open the door, tear his ass out, and beat him to a pulp. But I kind of caught myself doing this ridiculous thing, you know?
Good for you.
And so I stopped and, you know, just kind of, like, collected my thoughts and, caught my breath and realized, you know, beating someone up or trying to anyway, it's not going to solve anything.
So they make it worse for the next cyclist going by.
Oh, and you know, truth be told, I'm a lover, not a fighter, so I probably wouldn't be too good at the fight. But so, you know, after that experience, I was thinking that, you know, well, that's road rage. I actually experienced road rage, and so this is a song that came out of that.
sitting around. It's time to get your wheels rolling on the ground. It's time to move on and it's time to fight. It's time to tell the people what we see is right. Everybody moving with combustion internal. Motherfucker, use the legs, that old machine is infernal. You get in the car just to go around the block. Save a couple seconds to beat the clock. Sick of this shit, man, what can I say? Never safe on my ride in the night all day. People blasting by in the cars I love, but who's gonna die when push it comes to shove? You think I'm too slow, so you give me flying. Patient asshole, I see you at the light. I belong on the road, not in some cage. This is my song, and this is my road rage. This is my road rage. The other direction comes a travel dome. Leans out the window and says, use a sidewalk song. Yeah. Riding my bicycle every single day, getting disrespected on every roadway. People in the boxes don't give a damn. SUVs, hatchbacks, pippas and dance. People understand I got a ride to the road. Cruising through your town with my heavy load. This is real life, not a video game. This is my song, this is my road rage. This is my road rage. This is my road rage.
I know the feeling. I've been there.
Pretty much anyone who rides on the road knows that feeling.
Oh, yeah. One time I watched this car almost kill my wife as she was riding about half a block ahead of me, and I came up to the car.
Did it hit her?
No, but they were unaware of what happened. And I just slammed the side window with my hand. I don't know what came to me. I don't know how that happened to me. And then I just instantly felt so bad, because there were these two old lady, an old lady and an old man in the car, and I scared the hell out of them.
And maybe you snapped them out of their stupor.
Yeah, I know. It was probably not a bad thing to do, but I still cringe when I think of what I did.
Accidentally almost killed her. It was just an accident.
It was an accident, yeah, but it's like, I just like slammed my hand on the window and went, watch the fuck where you're going! And they just went... I felt terrible.
Oh, dear. That man seemed angry.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, almost all of us drive and everyone makes a mistake once in a while, and that's understandable. It's just when people are hostile, you know? I mean,
yeah.
So many people see cyclists as an obstacle,
mm-hmm.
and worse yet, sometimes it's a target.
Right.
You know? I mean...
And when they treat you that way, they are actually committing assault on you, and no cop would ever believe that. You know, it's, like, really hard to make that stick.
Well, if the cop was a cyclist...
Maybe, yes.
The cop
yeah.
would understand. You know, I think that people who are cyclists are generally better drivers, you know? I've seen it in places like Boulder, Colorado, where there's a really intense cycling culture. Bikes are everywhere. Bike lanes are everywhere. I mean, even the gas stations have bike racks because, you know, they're everywhere. And the drivers there are so, in my very limited experience, admittedly very limited, but, you know, they're so accommodating. And in places like, oh, you know, say Athens or whatever, out where I live, it's Appalachia. The culture there isn't about cycling. The culture there is like...
pickup trucks.
Yeah, you know, the bigger your truck, the better.
Alright, Attila Horvath, ladies and gentlemen, another startling end to our interviews. They just kind of end on Bikescape. They never really come to a complete end. They just sort of drop off. Anyway, that was Attila. Some good corn-fed music from middle of America. And he's a great guy. I had a really great time with him. I'm sorry, Attila, it took me so long to get this podcast up, but it happened finally. So if you want to hear more, some more of the electrified stuff, check out his album. It's called Bike Rock. I understand he's going to have another one out pretty soon, and it's on iTunes. So just go to bikescape.blogspot.com, and that's where all the links to everything on the show is, and there will be a link to the iTunes space there for Attila. Check him out. Do him a favor. Buy his CD. Oh, and in case you're interested, Levi Leipheimer won the time trials and actually won the entire race. He came in with a total time of 24 hours, 57 minutes, and 24 seconds. Levi Leipheimer from Santa Rosa, California. So the second consecutive Californian to win the title. So, all right, Levi. Well, let's look at the news in the world of bicycling. Now, you may have heard something about an odd and ugly incident at Critical Mass last month. Just know that you don't know the whole story, and unless you've been reading up on it. If you want to know the whole story, I'm not going to do a podcast about it, but I did do an interview on the Fredcast. So check the link, thefredcast.com. There's a link on the blog. And listen to the podcast. He did maybe a 15-20 minute interview with me, and filled him in on all the facts of what really happened. So it should be interesting. The next Critical Mass in San Francisco, probably be a lot of media and a lot of cops and a lot of flyering from those of us who care and want to make the ride a good thing. Oh, and by the way, speaking of the Fredcast, I just have to put in an extra special plug for David over at the Fredcast. It is a very excellent podcast. It talks a lot about David. Is an expert on racing and all the things you don't hear about so much on Bikescape. So it's very complimentary. If you listen to Bikescape, you probably want to fill yourself in on some of the things that David covers over on the Fredcast. He talks about lots of gearhead stuff and racing stuff, and it's a really good show. So please do check him out. What else? Other news? Somebody left, John, I believe, left a comment on the blog after the last podcast about pedicabs in New York. Apparently, pedicabs in New Jersey, in a city in New Jersey, have been outlawed. A new company sprang up, and they sank a whole bunch of money into equipment and getting things ready to go, and then the city council went and killed it. So, bummer. So it's a constant struggle. I think Las Vegas, they used to have pedicabs going up and down the strip, and they didn't really outlaw pedicabs, but they did outlaw them from riding on the strip, which pretty much effectively killed pedicabs in Las Vegas. In other news, in San Francisco here, you've heard me harping on about Golden Gate Park. Well, we finally came to a happy conclusion, happy for most people. You may recall that for the last 7 or 8 years, we've been trying to get car-free space on Saturdays on a 1.7-mile stretch of JFK Drive in Golden Gate Park. And it's finally happened. We didn't get the 1.7 miles. We had to do a compromise. There was quite a bit of opposition from the museums in the park. Apparently, they think that having a garage right in front of the museum is not good enough. People need to be able to drive on the surface as well and get right in front of the museum in what everybody voted would be a pedestrian oasis in front of the museums, but I guess they want to be able to have cars there. So, but we did come to a pretty good conclusion, and we will be getting some car-free space in the park on Saturdays in the summertime. Not all year round in the summertime, and not the entire length of JFK Drive, but a good portion of it, and also a portion of Middle Drive is going to be upgraded, and there's going to be a snack bar, and they're going to repave it and make it look a little more inviting to cyclists. So, good news in San Francisco on that. And oddly enough, one thing that's going to be interesting is the area that is left open to cars. There's no place you can take your car on that road, legally at least. You're not allowed to take a left turn into the museum, which is the only place that road goes. So I guess it'll be good for people who want to park on it. But otherwise, it's going to be totally calm, and it'll be very bike-friendly for most people. So, as we head into almost an hour of Bikescape, it's time to sign off. And I just like to tell everybody, thank you for listening. And always, you can always write to me, bikescape@sbcglobal.net. You can leave comments on the blog, where you can also see links and archive shows at bikescape.blogspot.com. And keep checking back for new shows. There are at least two more shows that I can think of in the works. I've got a bunch of recordings from bike polo. I can introduce you to the wonderful sport of bike polo in Golden Gate Park. Also, I just finished this morning an interview with Jake McGoldrick, supervisor from San Francisco, who introduced that legislation on Golden Gate Park. I talked to him about complete streets and conviviality in the city. So it should be very interesting, and I really am happy with the way that interview turned out. It came out pretty well. So I'll put that together probably next. So everybody, you know what's coming, don't you? Keep your rubber side down, and always, always take the lane. Bye now.